When Will walked into the store, Tom Brand was standing in front of the counter.
Howdy, Will. Two fellows were just in here and said they'd like to meet you, and they asked me where the jail was. I told them we don't have a jail, but if he was talking about the temporary jail, it's over by the railroad tracks.
Did you know them?
Mm-mm. They were strangers, just passing through.
Where'd they go?
They went over yonder to your jail.
Cobb pulled his horse up under the small window at the back corner of the building.
Hawkins, you in there?
Yeah. Is that you, Cobb?
Yeah, it's me. How the hell did you ever get yourself in a fix like this? Is Donnie in there with you?
Yep, I'm in here too.
He called us when we weren't expecting it. He got the drop on us before we even knew he was in the place. But never mind that. You gotta get us out of this damn jail. There's five of us in here, and I've already stayed longer than I intended to.
All right. Tell me what I'm up against. All I've heard so far is I ain't but one man that's doing the arresting. Is that right?
That's a fact, I'm sorry to say.
He's got some help from a Choctaw lawman.
That's right. Most of the time, it's just that one damn deputy. He's all you've got to worry about. He ain't getting no help from anybody else in town. Ain't nobody gonna get in the way, even if you shoot him down in the street. So the sooner you find him, the sooner we'll get out of here.
I got Archie Todd with me. Understand this Tanner fellow killed his brother.
That's a fact. Bill tried a dumb fool move. Thought he could draw and shoot a man standing there with a rifle already cocked and ready to fire.
That don't make no difference. He's gonna pay for it. And I'm gonna be the one to do it.
If it works out that way, ain't none of us gonna pass up a shot at him.
Something I can help you fellas with?
The voice came from behind them, startling both riders. They turned to see Will Tanner standing there, his rifle held ready to fire. Reacting immediately, Archie yanked his horse around to face him, only to hear Jim Little Eagle cranking a cartridge into his rifle as he walked around from the front of the jail. It was enough to discourage Archie from following through with his intention. Cobb had no choice but to play the game.
You the sheriff?
Deputy U.S. Marshal.
I was just passing through, and the fellow over there at the store told me a friend of mine was locked up over here. So we thought we'd try to say hello to him before we left town.
Is that a fact? Who might that be?
Ward Hawkins. I've bought cattle from him before, and I was just wondering what he could have done to get thrown in jail.
Mister, you need to be more careful about who you pick as friends. I don't want to hold you up since you are just passing through. And visiting hours are over now anyway. But I'm glad you got the chance to say hello to your friend.
Right, Sheriff. Deputy. I guess we'd best be getting along.
He turned his horse back toward the back of the building.
Come on, Archie.
Archie hesitated, reluctant to ride away without taking action, his angry glare never leaving Will. Finally, he followed when Cobb rode around the back of the jail. Will started toward the front to meet Jim.
Howdy, Jim. You sure came at the right time. Stand back here by the corner.
Puzzled by the request, Jim nevertheless did as Will suggested. Then Will pulled his rifle up to his shoulder as if aiming at a target and stepped around the corner to the front. Just in time to meet Archie Todd galloping toward him with pistol in hand. Archie reeled backward when Will's shot struck him in the chest, causing him to stand straight up in his stirrups as he galloped past Will to slide out of the saddle some 10 or 12 yards away. Knowing Archie was dead, Will immediately turned his attention to Cobb and ran around the front of the jail, his rifle cocked and ready to fire again. But Cobb had no intention of joining the assassination attempt triggered by Archie. He was already at full gallop in the other direction.
How you know he was gonna do that?
Just had a feeling. When his friend left, that one looked like he didn't want to leave without taking a shot at somebody.
He turned to look back at the body lying on the other side of the railroad tracks.
Looks like we've got some more business for the undertaker. Hope that fella has enough money on him to bury him. These two strangers showing up is not a good sign. Not at all.
These men were obviously connected to the ones he had in jail. And now he had to wonder how many more had arrived. Whatever the number, now there was one less, and that was the only positive he could come up with. Watching him, Jim Little Eagle sensed Will was turning something over in his mind.
What you gonna do now? You think those men come to keep that saloon open?
I don't know. I was just thinking about that.
He was torn between guarding the jail and riding out to scout Boggytown.
I reckon I need to ride right down to that saloon to see what they're up to. and how many there are, but I'm gonna stay and guard the jail tonight.
I can scout the place for you.
Nah, I don't want you going and getting yourself killed. Mary wouldn't be too happy with me. Why don't you keep a lookout with me?
Sure thing.
Inside Mama's kitchen, Ben Cassidy leaned back in his chair and spit a stream of tobacco juice toward the fireplace and paused to hear it sizzle when it struck a burning stick of firewood. Satisfied then, he returned his attention to Luke Cobb and the discussion underway at the table.
I swear, that sure is sorry news about Archie. Can't blame him, though. He was pretty worked up when you heard about Bill. I reckon I would have been, too, if it hadn't been my brother.
It was a damn fool thing to do, too. He went charging around that building, and that lawman was just standing there waiting for him, like he knew Archie was gonna come after him.
Did you say there was five of them in that jail? If Hawkins and Tiny was in there, who was the other three?
I don't know for sure. I didn't get the chance to ask about them. If I had to guess, though, I wouldn't be surprised if two of them is the fellers I paid to drive that load of liquor up here. There was a freight wagon parked beside the stable that looked a hell of a lot like the one we loaded them barrels on. I don't know who the other one could have been. Maybe somebody Tiny knows?
What you thinking about doing?
Jace Palmer scratched his head.
Just busting that place and get him out?
Something like that, I reckon. That place he's using for his jail is a pretty stout building. That feller in the store said the railroad built it while the war was going on, and they built it to hold guns and ammunition. So they made sure it wouldn't be easy to break into. I'd say we could set it on fire, but we might cook Hawkins and Tiny if we tried that. Whatever we do, we'd best get about it, though. Because that feller in the store said there's a jail wagon and some more deputies on the way from Fort Smith.
Damn. Why can't we just break the door down? Is it made out of iron or something?
Nah. It looks like solid oak, and it's heavy, and it's got a heavy padlock on it.
If that door is made out of wood, I guarantee you we can break it down.
He looked around at Teddy Green.
Have you got a heavy hammer or an axe?
You can use the axe I split firewood with.
See? There you go. We'll chop the damn door down. Of course, we gotta take care of that lawman first.
His three partners thought that over, and no one could think of a better plan. So it was decided that was to be their best bet. Marley White, being a somewhat sensible man, pointed something out.
Be a mite safer if we took care of the deputy first, like Jace said. All it would take is to catch him outside the jail and shoot the devil.
What about the rest of the people in that town? Anybody likely to help the deputy? Somebody that might take a pot shot at us?
It'd surprise me if they did. I didn't see anybody that looked like they'd likely stick their necks out to stop us.
What about the engine you said was there with them?
In the heat of the discussion, Cobb had forgotten about Jim Little Eagle. When he had talked with Tom Brandt in the store, it seemed that Tom always talked about the deputy marshal acting alone.
Well, he was there when Archie got shot. That's a fact. He didn't have no part in the shooting. And I don't think he's with him all the time. But hell, if he shows up, we'll shoot him too.
Marley reached up to push his derby back a little from his forehead.
You know, ain't nobody said nothing about what we're gonna do after we get Hawkins and Tiny out of that jail. I don't know about the rest of you boys, but I'm thinking Boggytown is stone cold dead. We ain't gonna be able to run no saloon here after this. There'll be a company of soldiers down here looking to take all of us to the gallows. Who the hell picked this spot to build this place anyway?
I reckon it was mostly Tiny's idea. But it don't seem like the best place right now, does it? All right. What we gotta do right away is get Warden Tiny out of that jail. Then we might decide to put this place behind us. But first, we gotta decide now is when to do it. We don't know when those extra deputies are gonna get here, so we can't wait too long.
Why don't we go tonight when the town's closed up?
That'd be all right, Jace, but what about that deputy? You said it looked like that place had two rooms. What if he's sleeping in there? We go to work on that door, and as soon as we break it down, we're liable to get a dose of what Archie and Bill got.
For Pete's sake, Ben, we're talking about one man. The four of us ought to give him the same dose Archie and Bill Todd got.
The discussion continued for another 30 minutes before it was finally decided to ride into town the next day, find the lawman, and attack the jail in broad daylight. The general consensus was that the citizens of the town would be helpless to do anything about it. There was also a unanimous decision that when it was done, it was best to abandon Tiny's idea that Atoka was the best place to build an outlaw's refuge.
Hawkins might not like that. He's put a lot of money in this place.
That don't make no difference. If he wants to stay, then hell, he can stay. But I guarantee you, Mrs. Cobb's little boy ain't gonna stay with him. Hell, he's gonna have to build another barn and stables anyway. Might as well build him someplace that ain't on a railroad. That'll bring soldiers and lawmen down here.
It was not lost on Cobb that this might be his opportunity to take charge of the gang, if Hawkins insisted on staying there.
Yes, sir. Sometimes it pays to know what's best in the long run. If it had been me calling the shots, we'd have never built this place to start with. I ain't saying nothing against Ward or Tiny. They had their reasons, I reckon. I'm just saying, I would have done something different.
Well, I reckon that about decides it.
Marley looked over at the two women standing by the kitchen door.
I hope to hell you women have got something started for supper.
That prompted them to retreat to the kitchen at once. Marley spoke out to Bud then.
You might as well break out another bottle of that liquor you got under the counter. We might as well drink it till it runs out.
You know, Cobb, I'm thinking we're gonna need supplies and money when we leave here. And with that lawman dead, there won't be nobody to stop us from cleaning that town out. There's four of us here, and you said there's five in that jail. I don't see how the people in town can do anything about it.
Yeah, that's the same thing I was thinking.
With the arrival of morning, Will had to confess that his conviction that there would be an attempt to free his prisoners during the night had been wrong. The first rays of the dawn left him to wonder if they knew he and Jim were lying in wait for them.
Looks like I just cost both of us a good night's sleep. I sure had this one figured wrong.
I'm going home to sleep a little bit after I eat.
With prisoners to feed, Will was going to have to go to Lottie's dining room for breakfast.
I ought to at least feed you some breakfast. Come on and go to Lottie's with me.
I think maybe I better go home. Mary will probably be worried. I'll be back.
All right, but tell Stanley Coons I'll pay him for taking care of your horse.
I'll tell him.
Jim stood and started toward the stable. Hearing Will wake, Harley called out.
Hey, Tanner, that you? It's getting along toward breakfast time, ain't it?
Yeah, Tanner.
Will recognized the second voice as Hawkins's.
Go get us some breakfast, and we need you to change these buckets.
In due time. Just relax and enjoy your time together.
You're a little bit early.
Bluebell greeted Will at the door as he entered Lottie's.
The biscuits ain't quite ready yet, but the coffee's done. So sit yourself down and I'll get you some while you wait.
Much obliged.
He went to one of the little tables by a window where he could see the jail. He was still wondering about the previous night and speculating on the possibility that Hawkins' friends might try in broad daylight. It occurred to him that maybe they outthought him and figured he would be set up and waiting for them to strike at night. He looked up and smiled at Lou Bell when she brought his coffee.
Reckon you want the regular 5 plates of breakfast for your prisoners? Didn't none of them die during the night, did they?
Nope. Still need 5.
The four outlaws rode their horses past Stanley Coons' stables at the north end of the street toward the jail by the railroad tracks. The deputy was not there, since it was obvious that the building was locked up from the outside. Cobb led his partners around to the window where he had talked to Hawkins before.
Ward, you still in there?
Cobb, hell yes, I'm still in here.
Hawkins felt confident that he wouldn't be for long now that Cobb and the others had arrived.
I thought about leaving, but it's so comfortable in this railroad hotel and the grub is so good, I decided to hang around a little longer.
Is that a fact? Well, if you ain't made up your mind, me and the boys can come back later on in the week. You got any idea where Tanner is? I'd like to take care of that Jasper first before we start busting this place apart.
No, I don't. He ain't been back here since he fed us breakfast. But I think you're thinking straight to take care of him first. The town ain't that big. He's gotta be around here somewhere. Somebody might be hiding him in one of those stores.
All right. We'll go from store to store. If he's in town, we'll find him. Then we'll get you out of there.
Tom,
Ellie Brandt yelled from the window.
Come look at this.
Tom rushed to his wife's side.
What is it?
He saw at once what had caused her distress. Looking past her at the four riders stopped in front of his store, he had a sinking feeling that they had come to cause trouble.
Don't let them see you staring at him.
No sooner had he said it when two of the men proceeded to dismount.
Go back to the storeroom and shut the door.
Tom rushed behind the counter to stand by the shotgun he kept propped there. Luke Cobb pushed the door open wide, looking right and left to make sure there was no one in the store but the man behind the counter. When he saw no one else, he walked in, followed by Ben Cassidy.
Good morning. Can I help you?
Neither Cobb nor Ben responded to his greeting. Cobb walked past the counter, opened the storeroom door, and looked in. Seeing no one but Ellie standing wide-eyed beside the back shelves, he closed the door again.
Is there something in particular you're looking for? Maybe I can help you find it.
Cobb looked at the obviously nervous man and smirked.
Yeah, I'm looking for something in particular. Will Tanner. Have you seen him?
There was little doubt left in Tom's mind now. The four men had come into town to do evil. He tried his best not to show his fear.
Will Tanner. No, at least not since I saw him go into the dining room for breakfast early this morning.
Convinced that the town might hide the lawman, Cobb walked past the storeroom door to another leading outside.
What's that out back? Is that where you live?
Yes, that's my house.
If I was to look in your house, I wouldn't find Tanner sitting around there somewhere, would I?
No, sir. That's my house. We don't have anything to do with Will Tanner. He's a U.S. Deputy Marshal sent down here from Fort Smith. He ain't got nothing to do with us.
Is that a fact? Then you won't mind if we take a look in your house, will you? What's your name, mister?
Tom Brandt.
Just like it says on the sign. Ben? Open the door there and ask Mrs. Brandt to take you for a look in that house out back.
Ben opened the door, almost hitting Ellie with it, since she had crept up to it in an attempt to hear what was being said in the store.
Come on out of there, sweetie. Let's go see what you got in that house.
With one hand on her shoulder and the other holding his handgun, he walked behind her as she led him out the door and across a boardwalk to a tidy cabin behind the store.
Tanner wasn't there.
Well, that didn't take long.
Cobb looked over at Tom Brandt.
Here's your wife back safe and sound and no harm done. You didn't even need that shotgun you're standing over. Hold on, Ben. I think I want to try out one of those.
He pointed to a rack of heavy axes standing near the front door.
That looks more like it might do the work on that door. Better than the one I got from Teddy.
He walked over and picked up one of the heavier models.
This was made for work on thick oak doors.
He glanced in Brandt's direction and made his way to the door.
I'm gonna try this one out. And if I like it, I'll buy it.
Will heard the shots, but he was not sure where they had come from. Whatever the cause, it had come from one of the stores on the street. He was outside the telegraph office, having just sent another message to Dan Stone in Fort Smith. He looked over to the jail just in time to see four riders pull up before the door. There was no mistaking their identity. He easily recognized the one riding the red roan and the thin man wearing the derby hat. Without thinking, he cranked a cartridge into the chamber of his rifle and made his way along the side of the telegraph office to the two barrels on the platform. Using them for cover, he knelt on one knee and waited to see if they planned to break into the jail.
Let me take a look at it.
Cobb handed Cassidy the axe. Of the four, Ben was the biggest and proud of his strength. He walked up before the door, spit on his hands, and took a solid stance. Then he attacked the door with a mighty swing of the axe. The blade buried deeply in the solid oak, forcing him to strain hard to rock it back and forth in an effort to loosen it for a second blow. Winding up for another mighty swing, he landed another blow to the stubborn door. He grunted then, and to the other three's surprise, dropped to his knees and slowly keeled over on his side. Only then did Cobb notice the bullet hole in the back of Ben's coat.
Get down!
It was too late for Marley, as a second shot from Will's rifle dropped him before he could react. Realizing then where the shots were coming from, Cobb and Jace scrambled under the horses, trying to use them for protection.
Get behind the building!
Cobb grabbed the reins of all four horses. Using them for cover, he and Jace ran to the back of the jail, leading the horses. Once they reached the protection of the building, they pulled their rifles out of the saddle slings and prepared to defend themselves.
Where the hell did that come from?
The telegraph shack! The bushwhacker's been waiting for us to show up here!
What are we gonna do?
We gotta see where he's shooting from. Take your rifle and go to the other corner. I'll try to get a shot from this corner. Maybe he'll come out of his little hiding place.
Jace did as he was told and crawled up to the left rear corner. He eased his rifle out past the back of the jail and jerked back immediately when a shot from Will's rifle knocked a chunk of wood out of the corner post.
Damn! I can't get out far enough to shoot without catching a bullet.
Maybe I'll get a shot.
Since Cobb was at the right rear corner, he didn't have to expose his body as much. He eased his rifle around the corner, then slowly stuck his head out, just enough to see with one eye beyond the front of the jail. He was immediately greeted with a rifle shot that struck the siding right beside his head. He jerked his head back and dragged his rifle back beside him, knowing he had escaped death by no more than a couple of inches.
Damn!
There was no way he and Jace could return fire without exposing themselves. The deputy was too accurate with that rifle. Aware now of noise coming from the inside of the jail, he let it register in his confusion.
What the hell's going on out there?
Get us out of here!
It was Hawkins and Tiny yelling from their cell room.
We can't do nothing right now. He's got us pinned down.
He looked over at Jace, who was staring, wide-eyed, waiting to be told what to do.
We ain't got no choice. We've got to get out of here. We'll ride straight away from here. Keep the jail between us and the platform he's shooting from. You take the reins of Marley's horse. I'll grab Ben's. Ride like hell.
What about Ben and Marley? What if they ain't dead?
Ain't nothing I can do for them. If you want to go back around the front of this building to see, go right ahead.
Cobb got up from his position on the ground and stepped up into the saddle. He paused long enough to yell to those locked up inside.
He's got us treed, Ward. Ain't no way we can get to you right now. We'll figure some way to get you later. We're gone! Gah!
He didn't wait for a reply, and giving the roan a kick, he was off at a gallop. Jace followed close behind him, leading Marley's horse, both of them unable to hear the cries of distress and frustration coming from inside the jail. Will stood up from his position behind the barrels on the railroad platform and gazed at the rapidly disappearing horses as they galloped away to the south. He jumped down from the platform and began walking quickly toward the jail. He could not give chase. He hadn't saddled Buster. The big buckskin was still in the stable. Plus, there was the matter of the two outlaws he'd just shot. When he arrived, both victims were lying, unmoving, in front of the jail. The heavy axe was still embedded in the middle of the oak door. A quick check told him that both men were dead. Once again, Will found himself on the trail along Muddy Boggy Creek. He realized that the two men he hunted now might not have returned to the outlaw hideout called Mama's Kitchen, but he felt strongly that they would.
Damn, I sure could use Jim Little Eagle.
He would have appreciated Jim's help in capturing the two remaining outlaws. However, he wasn't sure that there would be a possibility to arrest them. It was a lot more likely that this would end up a kill or be killed situation. Inside Mama's kitchen, Bud and the two women were once again interested bystanders, watching another desperate drama unfold. Cobb and Jace had ridden into the yard only minutes before, leading the horses that Marley and Ben had ridden into town a few hours earlier.
What happened to them?
Piece of dirt was waiting for us. That's what happened.
Did he kill Ben and Marley?
Do you see Ben and Marley?
Cobb checked his Colt to make sure it was fully loaded.
Teddy, get out there on the porch and keep your eyes peeled. Sing-eyed if you see anybody.
You think he's coming after you?
We ain't taking no chances. I expect he might. What do you want to do, Cobb? You think he's fool enough to come walking in here to arrest us?
I hope to hell he is, Palmer. We gotta be ready for him as soon as he walks in that door.
I don't think he's that dumb. I think he'll find himself a good spot above the path where he can watch anybody coming in or out of the house. Try to pick us off like he did Marley and Ben at the jail.
Cobb hesitated, giving that some thought.
I think we'd be better off hiding in that burnt-down barn. Somewhere we can watch the house and catch him if he comes sneaking around in the yard.
Cobb wasn't sure what to do. He didn't feel confident that they could hole up in the saloon and guard against an attack by one man determined to find a way to get inside.
What about the horses?
Bud interrupted their planning.
Last time he pulled off that engine raid, he ran all the horses off the place. then set the barn on fire.
That is something to think about. Maybe we'd best watch the horses. We could do that if we hid in that burnt-out barn.
Tanner's after us. He ain't after the horses.
But
I know what you're thinking. He'll stampede the horses to try to get us to come out and stop him. Well, I ain't planning to let him catch me out where he can get a shot at me. I say, let him come in here if he's fool enough, and I'll blow him to hell in the next week. Teddy can watch the horses.
He looked around the saloon until his gaze settled on the bar.
That's where I'll wait for him, right behind that fancy bar Tiny built. If you're smart, that's where you'll be. Go tell Teddy to take his rifle and go to the corral to watch the horses.
Jace decided that was as good a plan as any, so he went out to tell Teddy.
Watch the horses?
Teddy was already of a mind to saddle one of them and ride out of the mess Jace and Cobb had brought back to them.
What are you and Cobb gonna do?
We're gonna set up behind the bar and wait for Tanner to come in.
So when he shoots me, then that'll be a signal for you and Cobb to know he's here, right?
Well, yeah, I reckon it would.
Jace didn't recognize Teddy's sarcasm at first.
It's me and Cobb that deputy is coming after. You ain't done nothing to cause him to shoot you, so get down to the corral or I'm liable to shoot you.
Teddy knew what he wanted to tell him, but he didn't have the nerve to do it.
All right.
Teddy started toward the corral. As he did, he thought about the discussion he, Bud, Etta, and Ida had that afternoon after the four outlaws had left for town. Cobb was dead set on leaving Boggy Town, and Teddy and the other three had allowed themselves to think they could run the place inside the law. And even though the urge to saddle a horse and flee was strong at the moment, he knew he would stay, in hopes Cobb and Jace would be gone soon. Then, maybe there would be a chance the deputy would let the four of them remain to make it as best they could. Inside the saloon, Cobb and Jace were preparing as if bracing for a military assault, using the bar as their fortification. They got their belongings from the bunkhouse section of the building and piled everything around behind their fort. There would be no need to leave the bar for anything.
Etta, Ida, your job is to make sure we've got plenty of food. Bud, you set yourself by that front window and keep an eye on that path down from the trail.
He sent Ida to make sure the back door to the bunkhouse was barred.
Jace, if he wants a piece of us, he's gonna have to walk in that front door to get us. And after we take care of him, we'll go back and get Hawkins and the rest of the boys out of that jailhouse. There won't be nobody to stop us with him dead.
With an eye toward detail, Etta spoke up.
After you've got everything fixed so you don't have to get out from behind the counter, what are you gonna do if you need to go to the outhouse?
The two men looked at each other with blank expressions.
Cause I ain't about to clean up after two grown babies.
Go get us a couple of fruit jars. That ought to take care of it. If we have to pee, anything else can wait.
If it comes to that, I'd pay a nickel to see you squatting on a fruit jar. Fruit jars.
Without waiting for his response, she turned on her heel and went to the pantry to find a couple of empty fruit jars. Shivering with the cold evening as the temperature began to drop, Teddy thought of where he would normally have been at that moment, sitting by the fire with his outside chores done for the day. He thought about the two outlaws inside the saloon, hiding behind the bar like rats in a rat hole, and he truly wished they had been killed with the other two. He could see the smoke rising heavy out of the chimney, and he could imagine them sitting warm inside the saloon. That picture was suddenly interrupted by the feel of a rifle against the back of his neck and a quiet voice close to his ear.
You make one sound, and you're a dead man.
Teddy froze.
If you do what I tell you, I have no reason to shoot you. But I promise you, if you don't, I will kill you. Now, get on your feet.
Shivering still, but now not so much from the cold, Teddy struggled to stand up. The rifle barrel still against his neck. He reached over with one hand and picked up the rifle leaning against the corner of the corral.
You got another weapon on you?
No, sir, Mr. Tanner. I ain't wearing no sidearm.
All right. We're gonna walk over there to that smokehouse on the other side of the outhouse. Remember what I told you about being quiet. I've got no interest in you or anybody else inside that saloon but the two men who just killed a man in town and tried to break into the jail.
Luke Cobb and Jace Palmer. I ain't gonna make no noise.
Anybody else in there besides the bartender and the two women?
No, sir. Bud Tilton, Etta Grice, and Ida Simpson. There ain't nobody else.
Good.
Will walked him over to the smokehouse he had checked a little while before. He opened the door and peered into the dark interior where a couple of hams were hanging.
I'm gonna let you stay in here for a while. If things work out, maybe I'll have some company for you.
Teddy didn't hesitate, but walked right in. He couldn't help thinking he was happy to be captured. He closed the door and put the padlock in the hasp, but didn't lock it. This was the way he had found it.
You just sit tight. I'll let you out directly.
Supper's ready. You want me to set it on the table? Are you gonna sit there and eat it behind the counter in your little fort?
Put it on the table. You keep on with that sassy mouth of yours, and I might take a notion to close it for good.
Yeah? Now who's gonna do the cooking for you? Ida ain't much for cooking, and Bud don't know how to boil water.
She's right. I ain't no cook.
Ida helped Etta put their supper on the table. When it was set, Bud left the window and started toward the table.
Whoa! You just stay right there and keep watching. You can eat when we're done and back behind the bar.
Ida looked at Etta and shook her head.
What about Teddy? Don't he get to eat?
He needs to stay where he is and watch the horses. If you're so worried about him, you can take him a plate. If you ain't worried about getting shot.
I ain't afraid of getting shot. Teddy's probably getting froze sitting out there in the cold.
She picked up a plate and filled it, threw a blanket over her shoulders, and went out the kitchen door. She almost stumbled on the bottom step and came close to dropping the plate and a cup of coffee.
It's getting dark out here.
Holding the plate of food carefully and trying to watch her step so as not to spill coffee out of the cup, she made her way toward the huddled figure at the corner of the corral.
You look like you're half froze. I brought you some supper.
He didn't respond, causing her to think he'd gone to sleep. She placed the cup down next to him. But jumped back, almost falling when he straightened up with his Colt 44 in his hand.
Don't make a sound, and you won't get hurt.
She would have dropped the plate of food had he not taken it from her. She might have screamed, but she found herself incapable of making a sound. Aware of it, he quickly tried to calm her.
You're all right. I'm not gonna harm you. Just keep quiet, and I'll take you to Teddy. He's safe, just like you'll be. If you do what I tell you.
When she recovered her wits, he handed the plate back to her and holstered his six gun.
Pick up the coffee, and I'll take you to Teddy. I think he'll be glad to get it.
He led her across the backyard to the smokehouse and took the padlock out of the hasp.
You all right in there, Teddy?
Yup.
I brought you some company. She's got your supper.
Back in a corner of the smokehouse, Teddy pulled a match out of his pocket and struck it. Its brief light was enough to show Ida where he was, and she turned toward him before it sputtered out.
Howdy, Ida. I could surely use that.
He took the cup and plate from her.
Well, I'll be...
She turned to look at the silhouette standing in the open door.
I was afraid you'd killed him.
I've got no quarrel with him. You either. You'll be in here a little while longer till I see how this works out. Are Cobb and Jace still hunkered down behind the bar?
She looked at once toward Teddy.
I told him.
She hesitated for just a moment, trying to decide where her loyalty should lie.
That's where they are. And they're hoping you come charging in the door.
Much obliged. You two keep each other warm.
He closed the door then and replaced the unlocked padlock. Inside the saloon, Bud was finally allowed to eat his supper when Cobb and Jace retreated to their base behind the bar. Cobb changed his mind about permitting him to sit down at the table, however, and told Etta to dish up a plate for him and take it to him by the window. He was determined not to be surprised by the deputy.
Hey, how come Ida ain't back yet?
Most likely she's waiting for him to finish so she can bring the dishes back.
He's damn sure had time to eat that plate of food by now.
Over by the front window, Bud offered what he considered a reasonable explanation.
You know what Baby does for a living. Maybe old Teddy decided to take a little ride after supper. It wouldn't be the first time.
That thought served to infuriate Cobb, who was already anxious, waiting for Tanner to show up.
If he did, I swear I'll shoot him. I sent him down there to watch the horses.
He turned about and pointed his finger at Bud.
Go down there and bring that whore back in here. And tell Teddy he's got an answer to me.
Who's gonna watch for Will Tanner?
I will. Go on and do what he said.
Bud saw signs that Cobb was getting too edgy, and he didn't trust him to keep his impatience in check. The thought crossed his mind that Teddy, and now Ida, had decided it was time to run. As Bud moved away from the window, Jace stepped up to take his position.
Make sure Teddy's on the job down there. If he ain't there, you get back up here in a hurry and let me know.
Bud nodded.
And bring Ida back here. We don't need her down there bothering him.
With his shotgun in hand, Bud paused briefly at the back door and tried to scan the yard between the house and the corral before exiting into the darkness. Bud hurried toward the burnt remains of the stable, even more eerie in the dark. He was relieved to see the outline of Teddy's body by the corner of the corral. He hurried his step, anxious to impart his message and return to the relative safety of the saloon.
Hey, Teddy, Cobb ain't too happy with you. Where's Ida?
She's waiting for you in the smokehouse.
Bud stepped back, startled, offering no resistance, when Will reached out and took the shotgun out of his hand.
Don't make a sound. I'll tell you the same thing I told Teddy and Ida. You do what I tell you, and you won't get hurt. You understand?
Bud nodded vigorously.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Good. We're going to the smokehouse where Teddy and Ida are waiting.
He turned Bud's shoulders toward the smokehouse and nudged him in the back to get him started. Will closed the smokehouse door.
Got room for one more?
Teddy, who by this time was actually enjoying the drama being played out for the benefit of the two outlaws inside the saloon, was quick to answer.
Yes, sir. We're always glad to have one more for the party. Come on in, Bud.
Tell me, Will Tanner, what are you gonna do with us? Are we under arrest?
Her question caught the attention of Teddy and Bud.
No, I've got no reason to arrest you. Let's just say you're in protective custody. When this is all over, whatever happens, you three, and the cook too, are free to go on your own way. I hope you won't have to stay in here much longer.
Inside the saloon, it became strangely quiet. Etta Grice stood by the table, now empty of diners, baffled by the absence of the two people who had gone outside to contact Teddy. With no motivation to start cleaning up her kitchen, she remained in the saloon, watching the two obviously desperate men, aware of the mounting tension between them. Finally, after what seemed an inordinate amount of time since Bud went out the door, Jace spoke.
What in the hell is going on? He should have been back here by now.
He's out there. Tanner. That's what happened to him. He's out there and he's waiting for us to come get him. But he's still a dead man if he tries to come in here to get us.
I'm wasting my time looking out this window. It's plain that he ain't in the front. He's back by the corral. That's where we sent everybody and they ain't come back.
To emphasize his belief, he returned to the bar.
The thing we ain't thought about is the fact that he's sitting down there at the corral with all our horses. We can't get out of here without walking into that rifle of his.
We ain't wanting to get out of here. We can sure as hell wait him out. We've got food and somebody to cook it. We'll wait him out till he gets hungry and tired of sitting down there by the corral. Then when he decides he's gonna try to come get us, we'll be waiting for him.
What if he decides to run our horses off? We was planning to leave here and go to the Arbuckles. I'd sure hate to have to walk there.
He ain't gonna run the horses off. Staying right here where we can cut him down, if he finally does get up the guts to come in here after us, is the best thing we can do.
He glanced over at Etta.
Like I said, we've got food and somebody to cook it for us. We're in good shape, ain't we, Etta?
I'd reckon I'd best get in there and clean up my kitchen.
She disappeared into the kitchen.
And put on another pot of coffee.
Right.
Cobb turned back to Jace.
We need to make sure we don't get sleepy till after we take care of Tanner. I swear, though, I've drunk so much coffee already that I might need to tell Etta to find me another fruit jar.
Etta, ain't that coffee ready yet?
He waited for a response, but there was none.
Etta! Damned old woman. Has she gone deaf?
He walked into the kitchen, only to find it empty. Confused, because they would have seen her if she'd come out of the kitchen to go to her room, he moved quickly to the back door. It was unlocked. He quickly threw the bolt again, drawing his Colt at the same time and looking right and left in case Tanner was in the kitchen. Shaken now, he hurried back into the saloon to tell Cobb.
She's gone!
What do you mean she's gone?
I mean she's gone. She ain't in the kitchen. She didn't put no pot of coffee on the stove and the back door was unlocked.
Cobb reacted in the same manner as his partner, drawing his weapon. Then it occurred to him.
Most likely she went to the outhouse.
Did you lock the door?
Jace nodded, having never thought of that reasonable possibility.
Well, best leave it locked. Make her knock to get back in. Then maybe she'll remember to use the thunder mug she's got under her bed next time.
That old bag. She might as well have said, come on in, the door's open. She could have put the coffee on the boil before she went to the outhouse.
Palmer would have been a lot madder at Etta had he known that she had been in the kitchen brief minutes before he had come to look for her. As he and Cobb waited for her knock on the kitchen door, she was on her way to the corral, having made up her mind which side she was on. Equally mystified by the disappearance of Ida and Bud when they went to talk to Teddy, she did not believe any harm had come to them. In the brief time she had known Will Tanner, she did not see him as a cruel and evil man. And at this particular stage in her sometimes hard life, she feared very little of what might lie ahead in her future. Like Ida and Bud before her, she saw the dark image of someone crouching by the corner of the corral. Unlike them, she felt certain who the form actually was.
Hey, Will Tanner. I'm coming to join my friends. Where'd you put them?
Will didn't answer right away, surprised by the greeting from the rambunctious woman, wearing a coat plus a blanket wrapped around her.
They're in the smokehouse, waiting for you.
He rose to his feet.
You ain't carrying a weapon under that blanket, are you?
Nope.
She opened the blanket wide so he could see.
Don't get me wrong, but you're my first volunteer for the smokehouse. The others had to be escorted at gunpoint.
Not waiting for him, she made straight for the smokehouse.
I reckon I've got a feeling all three of them went to the smokehouse without giving you any trouble at all. I think all four of us are ready to see the last of that pair in the house. I'm betting that you ain't out to give us no trouble, since you know we ain't killed nobody, ain't rustled no cattle, or held up no banks. I don't know if I'd have told you, but we've been talking about running this place as a legitimate restaurant and stopover with no whiskey sold. So, what I'm saying is, we're ready to bet on you to clean this place out, so don't let us down.
They arrived at the smokehouse, and from inside, Ida called out.
Etta, that you?
Yes, honey, it's me. I decided to give up my evil ways and turn myself over to the law.
Will opened the door, and Etta stepped inside to be welcomed by Ida and the two men.
You all ran out on me and left me up there with those two jackasses.
They still hiding behind the bar?
That they are. When you never came back, I made up my mind that I weren't gonna be the only one left to wait on him. When Cobb hollered for me to make him some coffee, I walked into the kitchen and right on out the back door. I wanted to see what you were all up to, so I could join you.
I reckon what's gonna happen to us now depends on what you're fixing to do, Deputy. You thinking about going in there to get him? Because that's just what they're waiting for you to try. Matter of fact, that's what they're hoping you'll try. They're hunkered down behind that bar like it was a fort.
Will didn't answer right away, so Bud made another suggestion.
You might be thinking about setting the place on fire and run them out of there.
His idea caused a sudden silence among his three partners in mutiny.
To tell you the truth, that's what I had in mind to do. I figured I'd probably have to.
He could almost feel their silence at that point.
But if Etta is telling me the truth about what you plan to do with this place, I reckon I'll have to think of some other way to get them out of here. I ain't sure if this spot is a good one for the kind of place you're talking about, but I reckon you ought to have a chance to try it.
Dad Byrne, if that ain't damn decent of you.
I swear, if you weren't a lawman, I'd give you a hug. You'd be the first one I've ever hugged, though.
Will was trying to decide his next move while they were congratulating one another on their good fortune. He had not lied when he told them he had planned to burn Mama's kitchen to the ground to make sure no other outlaws tried to use it. It was a pretty secure building to break into. He had to give Tiny credit for that. Then an idea occurred to him.
Etta, you said you came out the kitchen door. Did you lock it behind you?
No. It ain't got no lock on the outside of that door. You have to latch it from the inside. I hate to disappoint you, but I heard one of them lock it when I was walking away from the house. Might have been Jace. He was the one I heard hollering my name.
Any other way to get in that saloon room? How about from those rooms on the back?
Nope. Cobb and Palmer made sure all the other doors were barred. You know, I've been gone a while, but ain't been that long. I could go back and knock on the door, tell them I was using the outhouse. Then when they unlocked it, the rest would be up to you.
Are you sure you want to take a chance on that? You'd have to run like hell as soon as the bolt was thrown.
You don't have to tell me that. I'll do it if you want to try it.
That's the only way I think I can get in there. The only problem is, I had planned to keep all four of you locked in this smokehouse in case I didn't make it. That way, they wouldn't know that you were helping me.
Don't worry about that. If they shoot you, Etta can tell them you forced her. Then she let us out when she ran away.
If you're gonna do it, we'd best get to it. Much longer, and he might not believe I was in the outhouse that long.
All right, then. Let's go.
As Will and Etta approached the steps to the kitchen, he couldn't help thinking of the possibility that this was all a planned trap. Etta might have been sent out to tell him this tale, and he was the one being set up for the big surprise. With that in mind, he held his Winchester ready with a thought of shooting her first, if this was a setup. He hoped to hell it wasn't. When they got to the steps, Etta turned to him.
You ready?
He nodded, his rifle cocked and ready to fire. She stepped up and tried the handle. It was still locked, so she rapped hard on the door.
Unlock the damn door!
In a matter of seconds, they heard the sound of boots running across the kitchen floor, and then Jace's voice.
Is that you, Etta?
Well, who the hell do you think it is? What'd you lock the door for? I had to take a dump.
She looked back at Will and nodded confidently. They heard the bolt thrown open. Will grabbed her elbow, pulled her off the step, and pointed toward the smokehouse. She needed no more encouragement and ran as fast as she could manage. Will braced himself to launch his body into whoever opened the door. He stood, poised for attack, his rifle ready until finally the handle turned slowly, so slowly that he realized the man on the other side of the door was not taking any chances. At last, the door began to open. But for only a few inches, and Will could see just half of a face as Jace attempted to peek out to make sure Etta was alone. Before he could get a good look, Will threw his shoulder against the door and crashed into the kitchen, knocking Jace backward to stumble against the stove. He yelped in pain as he rolled across the hot surface, still holding onto his pistol when he hit the floor. In a panic, he fired a bullet that buried itself over the door, then cocked his weapon quickly, leaving Will no choice. He pumped one round into Jace's chest, quickly cranking another ready to fire, but held up when Jace dropped back, finished.
I didn't have a choice.
Will's eyes fixed on the door to the saloon, expecting Cobb to come through it at any second. There was no sound at all from the large room beyond for what seemed a long time. Will hurried to stand beside the open door, where he listened for sounds of movement that would indicate Cobb was advancing toward him.
Jace, you all right?
Jace is dead. He made a mistake and paid for it. Now I'm giving you a chance to surrender so you don't get the same as he got.
Standing beside the door, he could see the bar at the other side of the saloon. He drew his rifle up, steadied it against the door jamb, and aimed at the oak counter.
What about it, Cobb? You ready to throw your gun out and walk away from here alive?
I tell you what, Tanner. Why don't you come on out here and arrest me?
Will saw the man's face and his rifle suddenly appear on the top of the bar. There was no time to think. Natural reaction took over. He jumped back just as a .44 slug embedded itself in the doorframe. Will sent the bullet, already cocked and ready, into the man's chest. Cobb was dead the moment he pulled the trigger that sent a shot within inches of Will's ear.
That might have canceled your wedding plans for sure, Sophie.
The thought sprang into his mind completely unexpected at a time like this. He heard Teddy calling from the back door.
Cobb, are you all right?
He's dead. You folks can come on back now.
In a few moments, Teddy appeared at the kitchen door, having stopped briefly to stare at Jace's body.
We heard all the shooting, and after it got quiet for a while, I thought I'd come see. I just hollered for Cobb before I came in because...
No need to explain. Better to play it safe in case Cobb was the one left standing, right?
Right. But I'm glad it was you.
He walked over to look at Cobb's body behind the bar.
You still mean what you said out there in the smokehouse? You ain't gonna arrest the rest of us?
That's right. Besides, I ain't got any separate quarters for women in my little jailhouse.
I'll go tell them to come back in and get warm. I expect they're about froze by now, especially Etta. She ain't much more than skin and bones anyway.